Well, I greet you in Jesus' name. I received a lot of comfort from that short devotional that John Ray shared. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone. I don't know most of you. And it just, I guess it just makes me a little nervous. But to know that God knows my thoughts and my heart gave me a comfort, because He's my Lord and my Father. And the message tonight is not the message that I have. It's a message that God has. I'm just a mouthpiece for Him. And He has been so good to us to give us His Word. And I often thank God for the Word of God. I don't know how I would preach without the Holy Book with me. Last week I did a week of meetings in Maryland, and as I was packing and loading my things, I've taken some of the things out that I was planning to stay down most of the week, and I carried my Bible out, and I thought, that's the most important thing I'm putting in my vehicle. So tonight, we have God's Word, and I'm thankful for that. It's like John said, I come from a local town here, Jonestown, and some of you know me, and you know what? I'm just a human being like you all are. We're all the same. Sometimes we get this idea that maybe, we're something special or we're unique, or that's not true. We're human beings on this earth, and God gave us a work to accomplish and a mission to accomplish. He has a purpose for you here tonight. I have a wife, and she's here tonight. I was glad that she could come along and have 5 children. They're all married, so we're empty nesters. We have 12 grandchildren, and we're enjoying this phase of life. When we were a family, and the children were all at home, and my wife and I would think about the children leaving it. We weren't quite sure if we were really looking forward to that. We enjoy family life and the children and teenagers. The teenage life was an enjoyable time, especially when there was courtships going on, and we just had an enjoyable time getting to know new people. But as time moves on and you accept what God has for your life, and you just find rest with moving along with God and accepting what He has for you. It's an important aspect of growing up in Christ Jesus, because we don't know what God has for us in the future. Another thing I want to share with you, my wife is a sister to Cindy Oberholzer, the late Cindy Oberholzer, if you would remember her, Clinton Oberholzer, his wife, and she was an older sister of my wife. And so that's just another connection for some of you. So I'm not sure what else I should tell you about myself. I think we'll just stop there. This service is not about me tonight. It's about Jesus Christ. So let's just bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, and we thank You for Your loving kindness, and thank You for Your mercy. We truly are sitting in holy place tonight, and we have Your Word and Your Holy Spirit working in our hearts, and we just want to open our hearts to You and allow You to speak to us and minister to our needs. Because we confess tonight that we're needy creatures and we need Your grace. And we just want to humbly walk with You and accept You and what You have for us. And I just pray You guide us as we share together in Your Word, and give me words of wisdom and unction from on high. We invite Your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I look across the audience here, I see people that are alive and people that have been born once, for sure. All of us have been born once. And so the message title tonight is Birthmarks of a Twice Born Person. Now, I just got done saying that we've all been born once, but I want you to know that there's a possibility that I believe there's people here that are born twice. But there's also a possibility that there's people here that are only born once and that never have been born twice. As I look across the audience, it's that possibility. We've got to assume that that's a possibility. Now, when we were born once, we didn't have a choice in that at all. None of us. But when we have a choice if we're going to be born twice. That's a decision that each and every one of us need to make. It's a choice we have. That's why we have Bible schools. That's why we have these meetings tonight. Because we desire that everybody would be born twice. Jesus desires that all men would be saved tonight. We have an enemy to our soul. That enemy's been around as long as I've been on this earth. It's been around before I was on this earth. But we have an enemy that desires to deceive you. An enemy that desires to get you caught up in the things of this life. Distract you from the most important things of life. An enemy of our soul. And I don't know, sometimes I struggle with this whole thing of, you know, we talk about that things are worse than they were before. And I believe that. I believe that because the Scripture teaches us that. But I also remember when I was a teenager like you. And I remember the struggles in the flesh, the temptations and the appetites of the flesh. I remember those wars that went on in my soul. And I know it's going on with you tonight. There's a battle that we have. There's a conflict. But 2 Timothy does say that, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So I do believe that as time goes on, as the Lord tarries, that things will keep getting worse. Evil men will get more evil. And seducers will be more aggressive. And I think one of the tools that Satan is using today is technology. I really believe that. Technology doesn't have to be Satan's tool, but he is really being successful with using it. And I fear tonight that there's young people that are caught up in the technology craze of the world, and it's a downfall of their Christian life. And young people tonight are getting caught up in the technology and the devil control of technology, and they're finding themselves in bondages that are hard to break. So what do we do about that? If you open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3, I'd like to invite you there. Second Timothy 3, verses 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And I just want to hold that out to you tonight. I don't know most of you. I have no idea who your parents are, what you've been taught, where you come from. I'm sure there's people from out of state. But I believe that you've had some teaching and some direction, and there's some things that you have been taught in your life, and that's why you're sitting here tonight. And Scripture says, don't throw them away. He says, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. And think about where you learned them. He says, for from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to share something with you tonight. God has given you people in your lives that are teaching you and instructing you. And the Scripture says, remember the things that you're taught. Remember the instruction that God has given you through your parents and through your church leaders and through wise people in your life. And he says, when you do that, you'll be furnished, and you'll be able to overcome the wiles of the devil and protect you from what I just talked about, what Satan is doing with the technology.
He says, I will fully equip you and resist the works of darkness. Now you may say, well, I come from a dysfunctional home. I come from a hard situation. You don't understand. I have a lot of things against me. And I just can't make it. But I want to remind you tonight, your greatest enemy is your own carnal nature. It's what's within. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said that this evil stuff comes within. It's not coming from without. It's our carnal nature. You know, most of the things that we have in life is not original with us. Most of the things that we've benefited from, what I see here tonight is an effect of somebody making an investment in your life. Somebody cared about you. If nobody would have did that, you would probably not be here tonight. So most things in life that we have, that we experience, are not original with us. But there's one thing that is. And that's the carnal nature. Your fleshly appetites, that's original. That comes with you when you're born once. That's why you need to be born twice. We need help. We really do. We can't clean ourselves up. Dirty water doesn't make clean clothes. Many of us have tried many, many times to try and fix our own problems. I remember being a teenager and I thought, I felt bad. I would go to the preaching and I hear the preachers preaching and talking about the sins of the flesh and so on. And I knew that I had them, but I didn't know how to. Well, I could have. They told me how to fix it, but I wasn't ready to do that. I tried to fix it myself. And it didn't work. It didn't work. It wasn't until I come to the place of brokenness and saying, God, I need your help, is when God was able to work and do a work in our lives. And that's what He desires for you tonight. You can go to Matthew 11, verse 28. I want to read. These verses have been on my mind for some time. And Matthew 11, verse 28. And I'm not going to preach a full message on this scripture. Actually, there's a number of sermons that come out of this scripture. But verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest under your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I picked up this yoke. I bought this yoke. And this actually is a yoke that was used at one time. And Jesus talked about that there's a yoke that He has. He says, I want you to come and join me in this yoke. If you notice, this is a yoke that they use for oxen. They make big yokes and there's smaller yokes. There's room for two. Now, Jesus doesn't say that Jesus comes to you and joins in your yoke. Because there's a possibility that you're yoked also, that you have a yoke of bondage. You can look in the Old Testament, there's some different places that talks about the yoke of bondage. Jesus doesn't join you in that yoke. I want you to know that if you join Christ, you join Him in His yoke. He has the yoke. Now the yoke represents the yoke represents responsibility. It represents discipline. It represents joining with another. It represents carrying a burden. It represents strength. Also, you walk side by side. Now, there's something else I want you to know about a yoke. And I'm not, everything I get, I read, because I never had any experience with yoke of oxen. But they tell me that whenever you have a yoke of oxen, there's always one that is a leader. There's always the one that knows the plan. There's always one that is trained. There's always one that is older. There's always one that is in charge. And they never put two yoke of oxen together that are untrained. They always put a trained oxen with an untrained oxen. I want you to get that tonight. See, we're untrained. We join with Christ. He says, I know the way. I was tempted in all points as you are. I understand. That's why Jesus came on this earth and lived on this earth for 3.5 years, ministry approximately, and He gave His life, and He understands what we're going through. He has a path, and He has a way prepared for us. So we join with Him. Now you may be here tonight and you say, well, I'm not old enough to be in this yoke. That's for older people. You know what Scripture says? Scripture says that it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's good for you tonight to bear that responsibility, to take on the responsibility with Jesus, the disciplines that go with that. But the carnal heart says, nah, I want to sow to the flesh. I want to have some fun. If I join up with Christ and His yoke, that's going to be too restrictive. I can't have some pleasure. I first of all need to experiment with some pleasure. Not knowing that when we do that, we just walk into bondage. There's many a young person doesn't want to take the word for their parents, the word for their preachers, the word of some wise person in your life and says, no, don't do that. And you say, well, I want to experiment. Ecclesiastes talks about that. You can turn to Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 9. He says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. He says, just go ahead and try that. Go ahead and do that. Walk in your own ways, in your own heart. But no, thou, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. He said, you can go ahead and do that. You don't need to join in with Christ. I told you earlier that to be born twice, you need a choice. To born once is not a choice, but born twice is a choice. And that's what the Ecclesiastes writer is saying here. You can choose. You can do whatever you want. But just remember that that these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. If you want to live like a child, you want to live carelessly, live, follow your own passions, your own desires, it's vanity. It's foolishness. I don't know why people keep trying it. You see what history tells, and people keep on trying it. So I want to ask you tonight, what is the purpose that you have in life? What is your purpose? What are you here for? Why did you come to Bible school? Did you figure that out? You should know. What is your motivation and goal and goals in life? I mean, really, what is life all about anyway? And you may say, well, preacher, I know you're quite a bit older. And I will admit that the older you get, the more you wonder about what is life about. Because I have less days to live than I already lived. So I think I ponder those thoughts more than I did when I was young. But I still want you to know that you need to know what your purpose is in life. The world's going to tell you all kinds of their purposes, all the things that they think that your worldview should be, and how you should put your life together. They're going to want you to build your life around social status and all the likes and all the and that somehow you become a popular person because people like you. And they use the social media, the social apps to do that, and they say that's where it's at. It's not true. That's fake. I don't know how many suicides take place with these young people that have these social platforms where they have all these likes and a lot of followers, and suddenly they take their life. Suddenly they commit suicide. And all these people that were following them were like, ah. I want to tell you tonight, there's no purpose in that. It feels good for a little bit, but it vanishes away. Isaiah tells us what our purpose is. The Holy Word of God tells us. Isaiah 43. Verse 5. He says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Listen, tonight, we do not own ourselves. I hear these statements that people say that my body is my body. You have no right to tell me what to do. You know what? That's not true. Did you know that your body is not your body? God made you. You don't own yourself. God gave you life, and God is the only one that is authorized to take your life. We do not own who we are. God owns us. Therefore, we're called to bring glory to His name. Isaiah tells us that. We've been created for His glory. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. It matters. It matters tonight what we do. It does. If you go to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? There we have it. This isn't my word. This is the word from God, from heaven. He says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. For whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So tonight, you know what your purpose is. Do you know what life is all about? What are your goals in life anyway? Something that we need to think about. You know, we have the story in the Bible where Jesus cast out the demons, and those demons went into the pigs. And we had that little story where the pigs, it says they headlong, and they went rapidly down the hill over the cliff and perished. And we say that's pigs. But there's people doing the same thing. They are doing the same thing. They're wrapped up in the things of this world and the pleasures of this world, and they're heading headlong for destruction. So what is your purpose? What are you pursuing in life? Well, Matthew 13, and I read that, it says, Jesus says, come. Come. Join with me. I'll give you purpose in life. I'll show you how to live. I'll help you with discipline. I'll help you overcome the temptations in life. And I'll help you control the passions and desires of your body. I'll help you. I'm going to be your support. I'm going to walk with you, right beside you. I'll show you how. You don't have to do this by yourself. You don't have to fight these battles alone. Jesus wants to help you. If I were to ask you to raise your hands tonight, if you want to go to heaven, I think I would get 100%. Most people that believe in heaven and hell want to go to heaven. Even people that are not born twice. If they believe in heaven and hell, if you ask them, they'll want to go to heaven. Do you know that we don't get saved from heaven? I mean, from hell? We're not saved from hell. We're saved from something else. Let's look at this. Open to Colossians chapter 3. And I guess I'm just going to take the time to read this chapter, because it's the Word of God, and I want it to speak to our hearts. If you just read Colossians 3, and I want you to follow after. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things the sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, or bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive from the wrong which he had done, and there is no respect of persons. Listen, tonight we need to be saved from the works of the flesh that he's talking about here. And when you're saved from the works of the flesh, your reward will be heaven. When you live a holy life, a godly life, and you put on the new man and you live in obedience to Christ, heaven is automatic. He says it here. He says, your reward, knowing that the Lord, he shall reward the and give you an inheritance. So in essence, we don't get saved from hell. We get saved from our own fleshly appetites and our works of the flesh. And then heaven is a reward. Ephesians says the same thing. Ephesians 4. He says, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. I'm reading in Ephesians 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the redemption, sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So here we have it again. We're to put off and put away, and we put on, and we grieve not the Holy Spirit, and we're saved. Revelation 21:27 says, and there shall no wise enter in anything that is defiled, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's no evil going to get into heaven. So if we want to get to heaven, we need to know what it is to be cleansed here in this earth. We need to have a conversion. In Matthew 18, Jesus talks about that. He talks about that except you be converted and become as little children, you in no wise will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what it is to become as a little child? And you say, well, I'm growing out of childhood. I would like you to study that out. It's important that we know what it means to become as little children. Because he says, if you don't, you're not going to get to heaven. That's for every soul that's here tonight. Whether you're a teenager or a grandpa or a grandma or a mom or dad or whoever you are, if you want to get to heaven, you need to know what that means to become a little child. Now, we have this thing that we want Jesus as our Savior. And this, we hear this around us a lot. Well, Jesus is my Savior. Is Jesus divided tonight? Is Jesus Savior? Is he Lord or is he Savior? Which one is he to you? Is he your Savior or is he your Lord? Can we pick and choose? Can I be saved but not have him as my Lord? Now, I know that there's times in life that God shows us our needs. I remember back in my life, there was times that my Christ's Lordship in my life was rather weak. I'll confess that. And I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to serve God, but yet His Lordship was weak. God needed to do a work in my life. And there was times and seasons in my life that I needed to recommit my life to the Lord and confess some failures and some sins in my life. And those are recommitments. I'm not quite sure how to... And I think that's why it's important that we don't judge people. But I want you to know that if you want to grow in your Christian life, you're going to have to allow Him to be Lord of your life. You're going to have to allow Him to have you in the yoke. And there's times that we'll be in the yoke and we won't like where He's taken us. And we're going to squirm and we're going to rutch around a little bit. You know what? Every time you do that, it hurts. It pinches. But you know what? It also hurts our Lord. Because you can't be in this together and one pulling back and one rutching sideways and stepping sideways without interfering with the other one. So when we do that in our Christian life, and we rutch and we twist and we balk, we're hurting our Lord and Savior because He gave His life for us. He gave us His all. Being a Christian is not divided. We need to accept Him as our Savior and Lord. So thinking about being born twice, just a few minutes here, I want to talk about birthmarks of a Christian. You can go to 1 John. Now I believe if you're a Christian tonight and you've been born again, there needs to be some birthmarks. Some obvious evidence that you're a Christian. And sisters, it's more than just putting something on the back of your head. For brethren, it's more than looking like a decent young man without tattoos and earrings and nose rings and whatever you want to call. It's more than that. First John 2, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He has said, 'I know Him and keep not His commandments.' He that saith, 'I know Him and keepeth not His commandments,' is a liar, and the truth is not in him." You know what? You know why Scripture says this? It's because there's people everywhere saying that they know Jesus. This has been an age-old problem. There's a possibility tonight that you can say, "Yes, I'm a Christian," but not have the birthmark of a Christian. People just say that. And he's saying those people are liars. He says they're not true. The truth isn't in him. So what is the birthmark? It's simply obeying the Word of God. Now that endeavoring to obey the word of God alone doesn't make you a Christian. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus and he says, Master, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, obey the commandments. He said, well, I have been doing that. What did Jesus tell him? He said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. I don't know what you have tonight that Jesus would tell you to go get rid of it and follow me. In this case, this man had riches. It doesn't need to be riches. It can be anything. It could be a friend. It could be a courtship that's not proper. It could be a pickup truck. I don't know what it is. But Jesus will tell you if you ask Him. He'll tell you. He'll whisper to you in your conscience. I'll tell you a little story. I don't know where this happened, when this happened, but there was a young man in a revival meeting recommitted his heart to the Lord. And they were praying with him, and when they were done praying, he looked at the preacher and he said, does that mean I need to get rid of my car? And the wise preacher said, yes. He didn't know what for car he had. He had no idea, but he just knew that car meant too much to him. That's what I'm talking about. And that's all Jesus is saying here. This is what Scripture is telling us. Obey the commandments. And you can read the Bible. You read this Bible and do a Bible study. Know what the commandments are. And this isn't just by the letter of the law. It's this concept of trying to make Jesus' life practical in your life. Just living it out. The next birthmark is found in verse 5 and 6. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. And it goes very close to with what I mentioned earlier in obeying the commandments. But this has more the idea of seeking a lifestyle like Jesus. And that you sincerely seek the desire to follow the Christ and that as you live your life that Jesus just glows from you. And that you have joy and peace and purpose and people say, well, these are godly young people. And you just endeavor to have that lifestyle. And that lifestyle is that you don't live to try and get attention to yourself. It's the lifestyle that you want people to notice Jesus. And that affects a lot of different areas in life. It affects how you clothe your body. It affects the vehicles we buy. It affects the kind of dress material you buy. It affects so much in life. You see, our inherited desire is to get attention. It's just that's in us. We want attention. The lifestyle of Jesus is not I, but Christ. That's a birthmark of a person that's a Christian that's been born twice. The next birthmark is in verse 9 and 10. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know, Jesus, the birthmark of Christ, of being born again, born twice, is that you love people. Jesus had, he was not a respecter of persons. He just loved people. He cared about people. Even when they drug this woman in that was caught in the very act of adultery, full of shame, and the enemies brought her in and wanted to stone her, Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more." What an awesome love. And that's how we need to love people. It's so tempting for us to categorize people and have certain people that we're friends with and certain people that we decide they're weird or they don't allow to fit in with us. And that's wrong. That's not an earmark of Christianity. That's not an earmark or a birthmark of a born twice person. A born twice person is that you see somebody hurting and somebody in need and you walk alongside them and you help them and you pick them up and you put your arm around them and you help them walk through life and help them make it through. That's the born twice person. And he says, if you don't have that, you're living in darkness. Jesus had a group of disciples that were needy men. Jesus washed the feet of Judas. And when Judas came and kissed Jesus, Jesus still had kind words to him. He says, "Whence comest thou?" He wanted Judas to consider what he's doing. He could have said, "You should know better than this, Judas. You're going to go to hell for this." But he didn't. Jesus loved Judas. Tonight, you're not saved by loving people. First you get saved and then you love people. See, there's times that we feel guilty about not loving people. And I just want you to know that when you struggle with that, kneel at the foot of the cross and pray it through. And God will give you a love for people. Amen. He will. Amen. So I'm going to ask you tonight, do you have these birthmarks? Do you have these birthmarks? Have you been born twice? Are you in the yoke with Jesus? Are you allowing Him to guide you and show you the way? I think you know. I think you know. God's Spirit is faithful. I don't believe that God would let you slip by with not knowing. Because God loves you. And you place yourself in a setting like this, the Spirit of God is at work. And He wants to confirm that you are one of His disciples. We're going to give an invitation tonight. And if you want to recommit your heart to the Lord, or you want to become a Christian and you've never been born twice, just come forward. We want to give you that opportunity. Let's sing a few verses of Just I Am. Where's our song leader?